MoneyWeb now on the money. Also available on podcast.
The show is brought to you by StanLib. Visit StanLib.com to get in touch with one of their investment specialists. StanLib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider. Chatting now with Johan Jacobs. He's a consultant at Cliff Decker Hofmeyr. Johan, appreciate the early morning time. You'd responded to an article I'd written about what happens if I get hit by a bus and I'm cognitively impaired for a period. It might just be a couple of weeks. It might be a whole lot longer. Particularly what happens to my investment portfolio, what happens perhaps to some of my more speculative sort of derivative trades. Am I able to, whilst lying in a hospital, unable to do anything, could I have left a letter to people to manage, to my stockbroker? Is there something I can do in the longer term, perhaps there is, but even I'm thinking in a couple of days or weeks?
Simon, unfortunately, there isn't anything instant that you can do. In South Africa, the concept of an enduring power of attorney is not known. Mm-hmm. So that the moment you yourself lose capacity, and that's obviously usually cognitive capacity, any power or agency you gave to anybody immediately ceases and lapses. Oh. So the only solution is a rather cumbersome and time process, which is to apply for a curator bonus. There is some pending potential legislation in the pipeline, which has been coming for a few decades, to be truthful, whereby we are going to acknowledge the concept of an enduring power of attorney. When that's in place, then you would be able to give somebody a power of attorney to act on your behalf and then obviously execute these transactions that you have in mind.
So if I'm hit on a bus from the way home from a studio today, and my wife logs on to my trading account and perhaps closes some positions, she's acting outside the scope of the law. Although would the person who's being harmed here be me, and I would then need to be the one taking action, or would the state potentially even step in?
Yes, she would be. Obviously, these days with digital access. Physically, one can do things if you've possibly given people passwords and codes and they know what to do. But they would technically be acting outside the scope of the law at least, and that could potentially open up to civil action. It's all fine if there's harmony in the family and relationships, but that's not always the case.
Yeah, and there might be harmony today. There might not be harmony in 6 months, a year, or something down the line. Okay, so if I'm cognitively impaired, I've got some significant challenges here, and I need to give thought to it. And this is, my long-term share portfolio. That's fine. That's not a problem. It's more my perhaps the shorter term. Then, of course, you were going to comment there?
Yes, no, obviously, I think with long-term, the impact should not be so severe. Yeah. So people who are in hedge positions and short-term trades, they've really got to think of a plan B. Stop losses.
Yeah, my ShopRite shares are going to be fine. Actually, you make a great point there. It is actually probably just stop losses on the system that then trigger me out, because that's an order I would have done when I was cognitively sound, right. and that can then trigger through. Then we move to my death, which we talk around a will and all of that. But of course, a will is something which again is a process. I mean, if the bus hits me really hard on my way home, and this is not a fun conversation, but nonetheless, there's those short term positions which are nothing can happen to them until the executor is actually appointed.
Yeah, indeed. There is just this hiatus that arises as a result of death, and that's obviously to protect potential beneficiaries and creditors. Mm-hmm. But there is a downside for commercial reality, and there's that period between death and an executor being appointed when you really are in a no-man's zone, because nobody can act on behalf of you and nobody can do anything with your assets during that particular period. Once an executor is appointed, that changes slightly.
Yeah, I mean, the executor would be a part of the will. And then, as I understand, they would then do as the instructions are within the will. I could say, sell my ShopRite shares, give the cash to my wife, or give her the ShopRite shares. Do I have that level of flexibility?
Yes, indeed. So with all assets, you can either say sell or don't sell, or you keep silent. General principle is that an executor passes over assets to beneficiaries unless he or she's got to realize him to pay creditors. But an executor cannot really be in a position of, once again, trading. In other words, it's a holding position for that 6 to 9 month period, and then to either transfer or to transfer the cash. Because there are also tax implications with, you know, deeming of capital gains tax on date of death and estate duty. So that can also, if steps are taken, could be negative for the beneficiaries.
Gotcha. I take that point. And then, of course, you know, I'm talking, you know, if I'd been holding potentially, let's say, Steinhoff shares, you know, prior to December 2017, unfortunately, if those are collapsing, the executor's hands are tied.
The hands are tied because obviously he or she cannot enter into a position where they're trading, because the beneficiaries may be proud if he sold the shares before the day of the collapse, but equally come back at him if there was an opposite move. And the Steinhoff one is interesting because if you held it during that particular period, the capital gains tax would still be based on the value on your date of death. And if it collapsed, say, a week after that, you'd actually end up with a lot less than the nominal value on date of death,
And then, of course, with Steinhoff, there's now the whole class actions, potential payouts, etc. Would that then delay the winding up of the estate whilst waiting for potential proceeds from that?
It does theoretically, but there are ways around. In other words, those rights could be transferred to the beneficiaries who would collect them later. You know, for instance, like unlisted shares or shares that go off the market.
So is perhaps one of the solutions, and this is typically for not high net worth, but maybe higher net worth individuals, is actually looking at a trust or something, because then it sits outside of the individual on behalf of the beneficiary. So if my wife were the beneficiary, the trustees would still be able to, post my death, they could then sort of manage the portfolio?
Yeah, look, the trust has the advantage that it has this concept of continuity. It doesn't die when the donor or the testator dies. But of course, you're moving into a completely different realm with regard to taxes, you know, that they are fairly punitive. So it must really be worth your while to consider something like that.
Yeah, no, I take your point. Trusts certainly are, you know, there's lots of good thought to be given before you jump into a trust. Johan Jacobs, consultant Cliff Dekker Hofmeyr, really appreciate that. I think for me, the big point I take away from that is if you've got short-term derivative positions or hedged positions, you have to have that stop loss in the system, because if things go wrong, then suddenly it can get very messy. And that's the poll we're asking you today on our LinkedIn and Twitter profiles. You know, talking around this, have you got processes in place to protect your investments and manage trades? I mean, I do, but chatting with Johan there, I think they're probably not straight up legal, I suppose, is the answer. Do you? I mean, maybe you do or not. Perhaps it's something you hadn't even thought about. We all think about the death part, but there's that incapacity part as well. The show is brought to you by StanLib. Visit StanLib.com to get in touch with one of their investment specialists. StanLib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider.